And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, Job 36 starts off with a bang in verse 2. Elihu says, "I am not finished defending God." Let's set the record straight for all those people in the media who are not too bright and the other people who get in front of cameras and say, "I'm not here to speak for God." Seems like that's appropriate since those people don't know who God is and have no relationship with him. But those of us whom he has called to advance his kingdom are, in truth, supposed to speak for him to other people. That's what we're called to do. Next, then, an observation comes regarding those who are godless. They're defined as people that are full of resentment. Yes, they don't say that out loud initially. But deep in their spirit, deep in their heart, deep in their mind, they are resentful because they know that everything they're doing has no lasting value. And they have no hope that can help them get past their bitterness. Oh, my goodness. And finally, here we go as Elihu drops yet another hammer, especially for those who are positive gospel-oriented. Verse 15 says, "By means of suffering, God rescues those who suffer, and he allows it to get their attention through adversity." So before everybody complains about what God is doing, even in allowing suffering and adversity, there is a divine purpose. Here it is. I'll make it easy. It's all designed to draw people closer to him.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. It's a good thing I found my piece of paper because I couldn't find it. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, so much more. Hey, 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 we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D is like knowing that your spiritual radio family has your back.
That's always a great thing.
That's a great thing. So here it is. Maybe you've got a prayer request or maybe you've got a praise report. Bring it. I mean, that is the nicest way to say it. If you've got a praise report, call. If you've got a prayer request, call. We'll join our faith with yours. More faith is better than less faith, right? If you've got a praise report, share it. Other people will be blessed by it. We love stuff like that. So cool, right? It's such a blessing. Read Psalm 40. Those that testify, they create trust in other people, that people have trust in God. It helps people trust God. I mean, that's just great. And we also do trivia and a few other goofy things because that's kind of how I'm designed. So here it is, the trivia question for the day, or for the day, for the segment. In the book of Matthew, that's Matthew 13. in the book of Matthew, how many brothers of Jesus were mentioned? Is it 4, 3, or 2? 4, 3, or 2 in the Gospel of Matthew. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I got to touch base with Howard Bell. He sent me a message, but I got to see what's going on. See, Howard was our original winner in our ticket giveaway, so we got to make sure he gets covered, and then we'll be doing additional tickets after that. One more thing, really important, it's kind of like business here, okay? If you received a text from me this weekend, okay, like a specialized text, please be aware that I need to have an updated email. And then I did want to shoot out an apology to Kurt Freeman. I sent him a text after I ministered to somebody at like 3 in the morning and then sent him a text. You know, you forget.
You wrote like Burke, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Burke gets up, it's like it's over. This dog, his thing now is he waits till we're sleeping. So he's got us covered, right? Then he goes in between us, and he lays either by my head or by Noelle's head. And then he just sits, he lays literally down right by our head, and then just sits there and licks our head. Then, if you think you're smart, like I think I'm smart, and you cover, and Noelle and I cover our head, now he's, not that he had done this before, but now he's poking with his nose and paw to kind of get through. It's so weird.
He need a friend, Dave.
It's just like, he needs something. All right, anyway, let's send the person through who's ready to answer the trivia question. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Dave, it's Jay. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jay. It's funny, I was thinking about you and wondering if you're doing all right, and I want to make sure you're doing all right. How are you?
Actually, it's a little worse, but I'm just praying about it. I'm doing the best I can for it and just trying to move forward.
Yeah, I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you after this, okay?
Well, thank you. Praying for other people seems to bring me peace, and that helps. So.
Yeah, but it's not easy. It's not easy.
I was thinking in Matthew, maybe this is not what you were talking about, but it might have been. I was thinking it was at the cross that Andrew, James, and John are mentioned.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. The book of Matthew, many brothers were mentioned in Matthew? So there's a specific number for specific names. So I'm going to give you a kind of a reboot on this.
A specific number for a specific
name. There's each one has a name. So is it 4 names, 3 names, or 2 names?
I thought it was 3 names.
Okay, but if you added one more, how many names would it be?
Probably be 4.
That's correct!
You're so fine.
It's 4!
Thank you, David.
You're well.
Who were?
It's James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, okay? So that's what it is.
Even close.
Yeah, Jude is the other one, or Judas they call him. So that's those four.
Where is it that Andrew, James, and John are specifically mentioned?
Okay,
that?
So when you're talking about Andrew and James, so you're talking about
disciples?
The disciples. Yeah, not the brothers. That's right. So this is the brothers of Jesus. So, and that's Matthew 13:55. If you want to have a reference.
So it wasn't at the cross.
Yeah. No. No. There was that one time he was with John and he said, you know, behold your son, woman. That was a little different. But let me pray over you, okay? Because I want you to be blessed, okay?
Thank you, sir.
All right, let's pray. Father, I lift up my brother to you, and we ask in the name of Jesus that you would bring him to that place where the corner has turned, because he's just stuck in this revolving door. And it's not helping him, and it's getting worse. And we ask you to break the power of that revolving door and open up the opportunity, the freedom, the difference, the change, the kingdom that makes men rejoice that, Lord God, you are in charge. Change this for him. Get him past this into a new place where he has a new song in his mouth. Give him that grace, not because he deserves it or we deserve anything, but just, Lord, because you're generous and you're kind and you're merciful. So please do it on his behalf. He's your kid seeking, crying out.
help your kid. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
David, you're generous, kind, and merciful, too. I thank you, and I love you so much. And I pray for many of your listeners, especially by name that I can remember, but then all when I can't. So
thank
you,
brother.
I enjoy your show more than you'll ever know.
I appreciate you, brother. Got you covered in prayer.
We're
not going to forget, okay? Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, see, now here's something that's really good. What I love about Jay, the whole thing right there, okay? Let's just talk about it. You don't have to know every – that's part of the
that's
thing
about,
we learn.
Dude.
That's part of learning. I came across a question the other day. I was like, just a regular question. It's like, I have no idea what the answer is. I was really surprised because I would think I would have known. I was like, I'm clueless. I'll tell you about that later. I think the question is tomorrow. I was like, I'm sitting there going, well, I don't know. I mean, I could have guessed, but I just didn't know.
Right. Dr. Dave.
All right. Yeah. Dr. Dave. Take two aspirin. Call me in the morning. Okay. Job 36. Job 36. Now, keep in mind, 36 or 7, 3, 8, 9, 40, 41, 42. And people are like, it's going to take forever. Well, first of all, it's not going to take forever. So it's not going to take forever because forever is a long time. Just saying. Okay. 36:1. I love this. I love all this. I don't know how we're going to get through all this, but here we go. Here it is. Let me go on, and I will show you the truth of what I'm saying, for I have not finished defending God. Now, I personally happen to love this translation in this text. So I'm going to check with my bro and see if he's got a different – and this will probably be different, but that's why sometimes different translations are more fun. What do you got on 36:1 and 2?
36, I have bear with me a little, and I will show you, for I have yet something to say on God's behalf.
Okay, that's pretty close. I have something to say on God's behalf. And so here's what I want to say to you, and I'm not going to make this complex, and there's no reason to make it complex. Ready? You do speak for God. Now, you don't speak for God when God is in the room. Okay? You don't speak for God when he's in the room. But you are an ambassador, aren't you? Are you not an ambassador of Christ? Right? Yes or no? Are you an ambassador for Christ? If you're an ambassador for Christ, what does the ambassador do when the ambassador goes and sees the foreign entities of the country he's in? He speaks for the nation. That's exactly what he does. Hey, guess what? You're speaking for the kingdom, right? It just happens to be the kingdom of God. You can't get away from this. It's not, and people are like, well, no, I can't. No, that's exactly what you do. In fact, scripture says you and I have the ministry of reconciliation. It's our ministry to share with others that God has given us to share with others.
Well, I don't speak for God.
You probably don't speak for God if you don't know him. Probably right. But that's not an answer. And that's not an acceptable answer. And you think, well, I don't think I know enough to do that. And then I got a great response for you. Read your manual that you got from your country. See, that's a good one. See, this is an ambassador. Read the manual they gave you. And then you will know what the manual says. Manual as in Bible. And then once you know what the manual says, then you can speak for God. You see? You see how that? It's like, wow. I will yet speak on his behalf. Of course you do, and you're going to have to speak on his behalf. And just in case you're wondering, you're required to speak on his behalf. That's how he's chosen to spread the gospel. That's it. That's why you hear some of these people, you just like go, not clue. Just like, I mean, I've watched a professor of theology on television go, well, I'm not here to speak for God. I'm just sitting there going, clueless. He's just clueless. Not a clue. Just not even in the ballpark. Swing and a miss. Okay. Anyhow, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
We happen to meet people who are able to, you know, go with the Lord while the flow is going, while the river is going, while the joy is going, and then something comes in the way like a pebble, like a pebble, and then we trip and we're like, ay, 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 and we don't know what we're doing. Here's the key. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be this superhuman, beyond capacity, exactly like Jesus in everything you say or do in each moment. That's not happening.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. We got our trivia question. We're going to do our DNA. I've got a single joke. It's a little longer, but it is pretty good. And then we'll get into the teaching. So just be patient. And if you're not patient, then consider that patience is a fruit, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is the 4th one listed, just in case you're wondering. Okay, there you go. All right. First and foremost, let's do our triv question. I said all that, and then I put my trivia questions away. This is the problem with me. You should see how many papers do I got up here.
Got quite a bit, Dave.
I'm just like, they're all it's over, like and I can't even find this. And where did here it is. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is a good one. A little challenging. Okay. All right. By the way, Howard Ball did get back to me. He's going to look over and then choose which one, and then we'll know how to go from there. So Great. Thank you, Howard. We appreciate that. All right. Through whose hands did Saul, before he became Paul, through whose hands did Saul see again? Obviously the Lord, but we're looking for the person. Was it Philip, Ananias, or Timothy? Or is Ananias or Timothy? Philip, Ananias, or Timothy? Through whose hands did he get prayer so he could see again? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Let's do our DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. You know the thing, give us this day our daily bread. There you go. It's just like, see how that works? spending time with the Lord. Every day that ends with Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. Just simple as can be. Just, that's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26 says, don't be ashamed of me at my return, or I'll be ashamed, me and my words, or I'll be ashamed of you at my return. Like, you don't want to be ashamed of what Jesus had to say. I understand that not every person knows every nuance. I don't think I know every nuance. I don't think the smartest person on earth that's human knows every nuance of the scripture, okay? Nothing wrong with that. The Lord's a lot smarter than we are, but I'm not ashamed of anything that God wrote ever. People don't like it? Too bad. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means just exactly what Jay said. It's just fascinating. He said, you know, when I'm praying for other people, I'm feeling kind of a little bit less being dumped on me. And that's primarily because we take some of that energy and then drop this on other people. And the Lord drops his spirit into us and comforts us and gets us through the process. You get that? So that's why other people, taking care of them, loving them, fulfilling the law of Christ is a key. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. You ready for this one?
I'll give it a try.
You're so funny.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the looks aren't everything.
Yeah. Through whose hands did Saul see again? Is it Philip, Ananias, or Timothy?
Ananias.
That is correct. I'm a no! Now, we should distinguish, and I'm doing this for some people who are asking, is that the Ananias and Sapphira that lied and were killed? And the answer is no, because the Ananias and Sapphira were killed in Acts chapter 5, and this is another Ananias in Acts chapter 9. So you got to separate those guys out, right? Different guy.
Well, we would think so.
Yeah, I mean, four chapters earlier, that Ananias and Sapphira, they, bye-bye. See you later, alligator. In a wild crocodile kind of thing.
Yeah, that's correct.
Excellent job, my brother. How are you in general?
In general, I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
Still among the living.
Still among the living. You know, the only people that aren't complaining, there, those are the people in the cemeteries. Excellent
right.
job, brother.
No.
I love you in the
no
Lord,
more
man.
Suffering.
That's exactly. Exactly.
You have a blessed day.
Thank you, bro. God bless you. All right. Excellent job. All right. Well, hold on the joke because I got to work it in, but I want to get to this next portion of this next text, which is absolutely outrageously fascinating. So let's just get right to it. So we just did Job chapter 36, verse 1 and 2. Now we're doing verse 3. Here, this is just wild stuff, just incredible stuff. It says this. Verse 3, Job 36, I will give you many illustrations of the righteousness of my Creator. I am telling you the honest truth, for I am a man of well-rounded knowledge. God is mighty, yet he does not despise anyone. He is mighty in both power and understanding. He does not let the wicked live, but gives justice to the afflicted. His eyes never leave the innocent, but he establishes and exalts them with kings forever. If trouble comes upon them and they are enslaved and afflicted, he takes the trouble to show them the reason. He shows them their sin, for they have been behaved proudly. He gets their attention and says they must turn away from evil. If they listen and obey God, well, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. But if they refuse to listen to him, they will perish in the battle and die from a lack of understanding. For the godless, here it is, all that for this, are full of resentment. Oh, man, oh, man. Okay. So we're going to have to come back to some of this because you know he's like, he shows them their sins. We already talked about it. If God shows you your sins and you act proudly, it's a dumb idea because God is not going to. That ain't going to go well for you. But that's not the part I want to focus in on. And you're thinking, well, why? Because it's superbly understand. It's superbly important to understand that the godless are full of resentment. Verse 13. You just got to see this, right? Godless people have absolute resentment. Like I said, we're going to go backwards, but I just want you to pick on this. We're going to really figure this out. You and I, we go through our trials. We go through our stuff, right? And some of it's hard, right? Some of it's not as hard, although we're really good at complaining about it, so sometimes people can't tell the difference. Some of it's really hard. Some of it's not that hard, right? But what do we always have? We always have this notion, even what just Brother Jay said just in a little bit ago. You know, the Lord's going to help. What is that? That's hope. We always have this hope that no matter how far along or how deep or how uncomfortable or wherever it's at, there is this opportunity for God to change everything in a moment, because it only takes a moment for a miracle. And it's like we always have that. I love that. I love being a Christian. Hope is the anchor to our soul. That means that we're not driven by the winds and the waves to be lost at sea, because God will help us. But verse 13, the godless are full of resentment because you know what they have? No hope. So what does that mean? What do you mean they have no hope? What is that? What are we talking about? It's not something they say to you, and it's not something they will ever say to you, because the proud don't like to confess things. But they're always resentful because it's never anything to look forward to. Do you understand that right there? If the church can get a hold of this truth, we'd probably have a greater urgency of witnessing. And that is, people out there who pretend they don't want God, need God, like God, or anything, they're living in resentment. They have nothing to look forward to. There's nothing of lasting value that they can extend into and get them past their bitterness. Do you get that? Just think. Wait. Are you trying to say that the unsaved, the godless, that they don't have any kind of hope? I mean, they're really yucking it up in this lifetime. They're really having fun. They're doing this and doing that and doing this and doing that. Yes, but don't you understand? They already know their own limitations. They already know they can only live in their minds for 60, 70, 80 years, and there's 90 years, and there's nothing past that. There is no hope. And they're resentful. Why? Ironically, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 11 and 12 that tells us that God made man putting eternity in their hearts. Oh, wait, what? God puts the desire for us to live forever inside us. But the godless, they're so frustrated because they don't see how it can happen. These are the people that need the gospel message the most. And their pride won't let them listen because they can't be wrong, even though they're resentful. And their life really is not what they say it is. Oh, it's not true. I got a fancy car and I got a fancy house. I got a fancy this. And right when the piano falls on your head, you got a fancy nothing. They have no hope. Isn't that, just think about, that's sad. Isn't it? In its own way, it's like, I feel sorry for them. Oh, you can't feel sorry for billionaires. I feel sorry for anybody who doesn't get that after they're 95 and die, it ain't over. I feel sorry for them. I keep thinking, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm excited my whole life because it's coming. Jesus' return is coming. Woo! He's coming back, yeah! That's what keeps us going. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Sharp rate, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job,
then I just call it like I see it. Okay? That's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770. The truth station here in Texas, getting ready for our next trivia question. Better get ready. I didn't say it was going to be easy. It is the next trivia question. Here we go. Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? Was it John Iscariot, Simon Iscariot, or Luke Iscariot? Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? Don't say Mr. Iscariot. Al, okay. I know that's coming. Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? John Iscariot, Simon Iscariot, or Luke Iscariot? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by calling 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David at hemustincrease.org. That is the question. Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? Was it John Iscariot, Simon Iscariot, or Luke Iscariot? If you think you know the answer, by the way, the answer is in John chapter 13. If you want to check that out, 972-445-0770. Also, text 214-210-8483 or send an email, David at hemustincrease.org. Time for Historia. Now, before I say this and people get overly excited, it is supposed to be National Cheeseburger. Remember we had double cheeseburger?
We had double, yeah.
Yeah, so we had it's National Cheeseburger Day. And my understanding is that at Wendy's, they have a 1 cent cheeseburger, okay, all through 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. You got to buy something else, but then you can get that. And then McDonald's and everybody else has some kind of super, super, super big deal on cheeseburgers.
Interesting.
So if you're into the cheeseburger mode,
you could get your way.
This would be the time to do it. You don't always have to be there, but I'm just saying. Today is also Rice Krispies Treats Day.
I'll take it.
Love them.
You know, you got to be careful with those days. They can be so good at you.
They're so good. Yeah. And then sometimes they drop the M&Ms in there and like, I just like, that's sad. Today is also National Ceiling Fan Day. So I support that. And then it's supposed to be Rosh Hashanah at sundown, which is the new year. Okay? So I'm just saying. Just some people say, well, Saturday. Some people say it's Sunday. Some people say it's Monday. Really?
You know how
they see the Lord's like going, they missed it by 6 hours. Okay, sure. Also on this day, let's see, 1965, Mickey Mantle played his 2000th baseball game. 1973, on this day, President Jimmy Carter saw a UFO. I got nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not touching that. This is my favorite, though. You should expect nothing different from me. That's all I'm going to say to everybody out there. 1965 on this day, Get Smart, the secret agent satirical TV show debuted on NBC, featured Don Adams as Agent 86, Maxwell Smart, Barbara Feldon as Agent 99. He had the shoe phone. Remember, it was actually technically the first smartphone. It was in a shoe.
Wow.
But the great thing was when he was in trouble, one of the great, great lines in the show, when he goes, he's in trouble and the bad guy's got him, and he's going to go, well, would you believe right now that right outside this door is the entire naval fleet ready to descend? And the guy goes, I find that hard to believe. And then he goes, would you believe that there is an entire group of speedboats just waiting to come over and rescue me? He goes, I find that hard to believe. He goes, would you believe two cops in a rowboat? Come on, people.
You're killing me, Smart.
That's hilarious. Come on. Two cops in a rowboat. Come on. All right. Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? John Iscariot? Simon Iscariot? Or Luke Iscariot? Answer is in John chapter 13, verse 26. If you know, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are going to step back. I hardly ever do this. Normally I'll teach, and I just teach it in sequence, but I'm stepping back because I want to cover this one part real quickly. We're not going to go long on it because the last section is the lights out fantastic section. We haven't gotten to that part yet. But if you just go back with me into Job 36, and we're going to pick it up at verse 7, it says this. His eyes never leave the innocent, but he establishes and exalts them with kings forever. If trouble comes upon them, and they are enslaved and afflicted, he takes the trouble to show them the reason. He shows them their sin, for they have behaved proudly. He gets their attention and says they must turn away from evil. Now just stop. You're going to find out that there's a whole other half to this in the next section that we go into. But in this half, it's the Lord trying to communicate to us through his word, through Elihu, that if you're doing something wrong and it is because of pride, it is because of sin, God's not going to dangle that out or cover it over with a handkerchief. He'll show you. So a lot of people, what they do is they go through the trials and the troubles and they think, well, it's got to be something I've done wrong. But see, the Lord doesn't rebuke and chasten and chastise when you've done something wrong and then not show you. That's where people are blowing it. If it's because he wants to show you your sin, he is more than capable of showing you your sin. We're going to find out in the last segment is that's not always what's going on when the Lord does stuff. But when he is getting ready to rebuke you for your sin, or if there is something there, God is not shy in being able to communicate to you that you got issues. And whenever the Lord shows you those issues, just make it super easy, right? Says he shows people their sin and then they must turn away from evil. He does that because he's merciful. If they listen and obey, then God will bless them. This is the thing called, ready? Repentance. So if the Lord shows you something, here's my big admonition. Don't defend your behavior. Just don't defend it. Just if the Lord goes this, don't go, well, see, because when you do that, that's the wrong attitude. If you listen and obey, the Lord will bless you. If you don't listen, he's going to help you here. And I'm trying to say this in the nicest way. If the Lord challenges you, shows you something, reveals something to you, small, medium, or large, acknowledge it. Ask for help. I know people think this is weird, but you can overcome any sin. But I also recognize that sometimes besetting sins are harder to overcome than goofy little ones. And it's just like sometimes you got to go, I need some help. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And if the Lord wants to rebuke you and show you something you're doing wrong, he can, right? But he's not hiding it from you like some kind of mystery veil. Like, here's the reason it's going on, but I'm keeping it hidden because I am a magician. You know, it's like, that's not what's going on. When you do something wrong, got to go, this way you don't do this. You see that difference,
and
right?
A lot of times in our mind, Dave, you're wondering that, like it's some type of mystery. Like, oh, he can't show us what it is. Like,
yeah, it's like, what? I've never in my encounter with the Lord in 45 years ever seemed to have a problem with him going, you're doing this. Oh, okay. It's like, now, there's sometimes I'm so rebellious that I'm not listening and I don't want to listen. And I'm sure I'm the only Christian who's ever gone through that. But you have to understand the difference between that and adversity in general. This is not adversity. This is rebuke. When we come back, we're going to dive into this thing called adversity, which is substantially different, if you're catching my wind here. Who was the father of Judas Iscariot? Was it John, Simon, or Luke Iscariot? The answer is Simon Iscariot. It's Judas is the son of Simon Iscariot. Okay, that's the answer. John chapter 13, verse 26. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. What happens when he stops following Christ? You stop following him. And what about 2 Corinthians 2:14? Not that we rule over your faith, Paul said. What? Not that we rule over your faith. So this whole notion that there's this authority structure and that people have to obey, because if they don't obey in every nuance, they're going to be, you know, zapped or whatever. Ours was better. You know what our story was? Ken told the story about past congregations he had, how about people who disobeyed him and spoke evil about them, and how God killed them. That's what he told us. In fact, it was true that somebody out of the 110 people out of his three previous churches, we'll just leave that there. One person did die. Wow, one out of 110. They picked up a hitchhiker on their way to Flagstaff, Arizona. Hey, I pastored in Flagstaff. And the hitchhiker ended up killing the guy because the guy was a mental case. But Ken used that after his church was closed 15 years later, saying, see, what? But we were too dumb to know. So now you have the same guy that told us how to attack a Christian leader, telling us we can no longer attack Christian leaders unless he, the anointed of God, gives us permission. He's in charge, and we can't challenge him or question him. And, oh, by the way, if we talk about the anointed or touch the prophets of God, God will kill us, and he's him. So he's the one of the anointed, so we can't touch him. Even though none of that is scriptural, none of that is right, and all of that is wackadoodle. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your final trivia question. This should be relatively easy for most people. How many floors did Noah's Ark have? Okay. You looking for, you're supposed to give a multiple choice on that? How many floors did Noah's Ark have? 4, 3, or 2? How many floors did Noah's Ark have? 4, 3, or 2? By the way, your answer is in Genesis 6:16. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David@hemusincrease.org. We are going to send you up to the website. Just to remind you, not only can you give on the website, but you can receive on the website. Check it out at hemusincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemusincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemusincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemusincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemusincrease.org.
hemusincrease.org.
There you go. That's, I don't know what to tell you that is. Okay.
I thought you were saying that's your head.
Yeah, it's in my head. All right, how many floors did Noah's Ark have? Was it 4, 3, or 2? The only hint you'll get is the same as a Tootsie Pop. Genesis 6:16, if you can figure that out. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, David@hemusincrease.org. And some people are there going, what do you mean the same as a Tootsie Pop? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Okay. Before we do the teach, I got a joke. I got to do this. Somebody's calling in. We're going to put them on hold once they answer because this is a goofy joke, but it's kind of a quirky, kind of a funny joke, so we'll just do it. I'll do my best with it. You guys can just hang on. Here we go. A philosophy professor, did you hear what I said? A philosophy professor gave a one-question final exam. He picked up a chair, plopped it on his desk, and wrote on the board, "Use everything we've learned this semester to prove this chair does not exist." The students began furiously writing their answers. However, one member of the class finished in less than a minute, turned in his paper, and left the room. Weeks later, when the grades were posted, the rest of the class wondered how he could have gotten an A when he had barely written anything at all. He told them, "This is what I answered when he said, prove the chair does not exist." This is what I responded. "What chair?"
Oh, no, you didn't.
See, that's funny. What chair? Okay. I can't be the only person who thinks that's funny. Okay, maybe I am the only person that thinks that's funny. All right, we got somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm doing okay, and I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. All right, now this, I think this threw a couple of people, which I was kind of surprised, so I'm very confident you'll get this. Ready? How many floors did Noah's Ark have?
3.
That is correct, Armando! Right you are! That is exactly it, 3. And I mean, that's just 3 floors. It's just lower, middle, and upper. That's it. That's all there was to it. Excellent job, Deborah, and I appreciate it very much.
All right, and I thought your joke was funny, too.
Yeah, what was there? What chair? Thank you, Deborah. You get an extra bonus for that. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
See? I'm not the only person.
At least she thought it was funny.
That's right. She gets a gold star for that. She knows what's true. Okay. Yeah. All right, here it comes. This is the last portion. You thought the rest of that was interesting? You just got to look at verse 15. This does not necessitate sin, which is why it's really important for you and I to get this. Job chapter 36, verse 15. But by means of suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity. Okay. It's just, nobody's going anywhere with this. Don't try and... Oh, well, let me give you my theology, Dave. Hey, let me give you something God said in his word. But by means of their suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity. If that is not a big clue, right? It's not always because it's sin, although sin does come into play. But sometimes adversity is just there so that God can get your attention. Well, why does he want to do that? Because he loves you. That's why. God wants to get your attention because he loves you. Okay? So listen, Elihu drops this hammer, especially for those who are positive gospel oriented. By means of suffering, God rescues those who suffer, and he allows it to get their attention through adversity. So before everybody complains about what God's doing, even in allowing suffering and adversity, there is a divine purpose. Oh, see, this is the thing. But I don't like that. I don't either. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I don't like all of the adversity. Who doesn't want to have a fully easy skate through it all kind of existence? But in allowing suffering and adversity, there is a purpose behind it. And that purpose is specifically designed to draw people closer to him. What I want you to understand is it's specifically designed, your adversity, to draw you closer to the Lord. People are like, well, that doesn't seem very positive. On the contrary, it is extremely positive. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because God is taking the time to rearrange in your life the necessities for you to get closer to him. And that's extremely positive. And the closer you get, the better we understand what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Listen, it's not even the need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I got nothing. No, I don't want anything. What do you mean you don't want anything? No, I don't want anything. I'm good. What do you mean you're good? God is my goodness. He's my portion. He fills me up. But don't you want this? No. I just want more of him. Because every time God pours his presence out upon us, we're full of joy, we're full of peace, we're full of grace, we're full of the wonderful. And so, but it seems so rough. Well, first of all, we're sinful people, right? We're saved, but we're still fighting through. People are like, well, we were redeemed from the curse of the law, not the fullness of the redemption. Otherwise, people wouldn't die. So that's just, see, the penalty of the death, right? So that fullness hasn't come about yet. It's not hard. It's like, okay. But everything he allows, he designs it specifically for us to draw in. Now just think of that, because we're teaching on Job. You can't have a better story. It's like all those things Job did. It's like Elihu, this one line. If Job would have one line. But by means of suffering, he rescues those who suffer, for he gets their attention through adversity. Ta-da! It's just like Job would have said, I have nothing to say for chapter 3 through 31. I'm done. Thanks. It just shuts everything down. And God does it to draw closer to us. And he does it because he loves us. And you think, well, how can you use adversity? Because adversity, which is what we deserve because we're sinners, is utilized to draw us in tighter. And I sit there and I think, I know, but I want it to be perfect, easy, simple. You know, I want to snap my fingers. Everything's perfect. So it doesn't work that way. But the closer you draw in, the more you find out, the less you the less you begin to sense, the less you need all these other things. Let's just think about that. I have learned in him, no matter what my situation, to be content. That's what Paul said in Philippians. Are we in all things content? Because he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never abandon us. Matthew 1, God with us. Matthew 28, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Like, wow. So my encouragement is not that you want to ask for adversity. I think that's probably not the brilliance of the plan. But to recognize in the adversity that the Lord will use that adversity. Remember, all things work together for good. Somehow that always comes back to still being true somehow, right? Because he'll use it to help you, to draw you closer, to love you. And I know there's tough things, but then God takes those tough things and does what? I went through a terrible, awful, I mean, just absolutely radically terrible church experience. I am 10 times closer to God because of that. 40 years later than I ever would have been otherwise. Now it's tough to complain. Then I did a lot of complaining. Now I'm like, that turned out to just draw me in tight. So maybe what you're going through is designed to draw you in tighter. Just so you can be closer. Just so you can know he's with you. Just so you can be blessed because of him. Isn't that just amazing? This is why I won't rip this book out and just do the big things. Are you kidding? That verse right there? Oh, it's just brilliant. They're just, God's so brilliant. All right. All right, we're done. We'll take our break till tomorrow. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.